and it was like my dream had come true. But there are a few things that are staying the same. Like today's worship service, we're going to stay in the same style that we've been for the last few weeks. So you'll be listening to the songs rather than singing them. That's based on the feedback I got and some good advice I received. The other thing that's going to change, though, is that after Julia's story, which is next, the children are invited to go outside. I believe there'll be some adult supervision with them. But I can tell you this, that never, ever, ever happened when I was a kid. We had to sit in church, and we had no air conditioning back in those days. But anyway, Julia, I think it's time for your story.
Good morning. My story this morning is called Giving from the Heart, and it's about school kits and school bags, and I'm sure most of you are very familiar with us collecting school supplies and putting them into the bags and shipping them to Elkhart to Church World Service. But I just wanted to remind you, like most things, we start out learning to play the piano or learning to ride a horse or going to school. And we didn't know everything right at the beginning. We had to learn it. And the school bags are the same way. They start out with this piece of cloth and a couple of straps. And talented volunteers make them into a school bag so that we can fill them and send them to kids in need. I'm going to bring this a little closer to me. So what goes in the school bags? Well, you go to the store and you can take your own bag, okay? Or when you go to the store and you pay for something, you'll get a little plastic bag to put them in. And you'll need to buy scissors and a ruler and the pencil sharpener and an eraser and 6 pencils. And 3 notebooks of approximately 70 count and crayons of 24 crayons. So that's what goes in your school bag. So then what happens? That's what goes into this bag. So then what happens? Well, this year we're going to do it differently, because once you buy your things, you're just going to bring them to the church and you're just going to put them in a box back in the narthex marked school supplies. We're not going to be sending out these bags this year. You're going to bring your bag in, or you're going to just put, I don't want to say dump them, but, you know, kind of gently put them in the boxes marked school kits, school supplies. And don't forget, to include $2 per bag. That helps with the shipping for each kit once it goes out from Elkhart. We don't charge a shipping charge to take them to Elkhart. Volunteers do that. Once we get them packed in the boxes, we have a lot. And this year, in the past years, we've filled about a little over 100 school bags. This year, we kind of outdid ourselves and we have 160 bags to fill. So we need lots of school supplies to come in so we can fill those bags. And then once they go to Elkhart, they're shipped to sometimes to foreign countries like Guatemala or Honduras or Haiti, to places for those kids. So they'll have their own tools to go to school and learn. But sometimes they're also stay here in the United States and go to a community center, or since Texas is getting rampaged by a storm right now, I'm sure there will be families that won't have much once this storm goes through, and when they go to school then, some of these supplies will possibly go to Texas and other places where there are storms or inclement weather or nasty things that happen. So that's what happens to the school supplies that you bring in. And I just wanted you to know that you're giving from the heart.
My name is Stacy Williams, and I serve as the associate pastor at the Cincinnati Church of the Brethren. My call to ministry was a bit of a surprise. I wasn't expecting it at all. I was attending a retreat and talking about women in ministry, and it was like a light went on, and I knew I was supposed to be a minister. And so I worried about how I would do that, since I was terrified of public speaking. But I trusted that God would help me do it. I remember a time when I was in about fifth grade that the pastor of our church was coming around on Wednesday nights, and he was talking to each of the classes, letting us kids know that he was thinking about us, and he really cared about what was happening in our lives. And I can remember thinking, I want that job. I would love to be able to do that. And so I guess God was calling me a lot sooner than what I realized. And my ministry journey has been a winding path, but everything that I've done has prepared me for where I am now. And I love being able to talk with people and to walk with them on their journeys.
Thank you. Stand as you would like and join me in the call to worship. God of all creation, we gather this morning eager to hear and receive your word. May this good gift become to us a treasure to which we cling in the difficult days which may be ahead. May we find great value in what you teach us, even when we are not fully in agreement or understanding. Place within us true treasures of the kingdom so that we can grow and mature in the faith. All this we ask through the name of Jesus, the greatest gift of all.
The kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. When it is sown in the earth, it is the smallest seed. It is like the kingdom of God and a mystery. For when it's sown, it grows into the largest plant, greater than all of the herbs, and grows into a tree. It is like the kingdom of God and a mystery. It grows so birds can rest inside its crown of leaves, deep in the shadows, away from evil things that prey. It is like the kingdom of God and a mystery. And so we can liken it to seeds which make a tree, larger than all of the trees from just the sunlit seed. It is like the kingdom of God and a mystery.
One of the things that I'm liking about these new days is that we can sing, or you can hear songs like that. That would be hard to sing as a congregation, and I'll apologize to the folks who have to perform, but it broadens the hymnal for us just a little bit. So praise God for that. I did want to make sure you're aware that the prelude was brought to you by Bob and Glenda Shaw. They recorded that from their house, so. That was a blessing, and people are invited to do that who aren't able to come to join us here for worship, and we can try to incorporate those into the service. I didn't receive any joys or concerns today to share. Reminder that if you want me to share those from on Sunday morning, either text those or email those or get those to me ahead of time. I do try to check my email right before I come up for that purpose. So let's pray together. Gracious God, the earth is indeed a beautiful place today. It's a little hotter than we might like, but it's going to be full of blues and greens, which are a sign of life and growth, and yellows, which is a sign of warmth. Instill these values into our hearts and through our lives, so that we are people who are about growing and expanding the kingdom, and deepening our understanding, so that our hearts are warmer towards others, even some of those that we might find difficult to initially be attracted to. Your kingdom is about growth and expansion. So in that vein, we ask you to grow our lives and expand our vision. Do this to us as individuals, and do it for us as a congregation. We ask you to bless our worship. We ask you to bless our lives as we go forth in this place into all the places that you might send us. Send us forth with joy and gladness and a desire to meet you in the places and the people we encounter in the days ahead. Thank you for all you do and all you will do in the future. Amen.
Feel free to hum along. You are the salt of the earth, O people, salt for the kingdom of God. Share the flavor of life, O people, life in the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy, bring forth the kingdom of peace, bring forth the kingdom of justice, bring forth the city of God. You are the light on a hill, O people, light for the city of God. Shine so holy and bright, O people, shine for the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy, bring forth the kingdom of peace, bring forth the kingdom of justice, bring forth the city of God. You are a seed of the word, O people, bring forth the kingdom of God. Seeds of mercy and seeds of justice, bring forth the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy, bring forth the kingdom of peace, bring forth the kingdom of justice, bring forth the city of God. We are the blessed and pilgrim people, bound for the kingdom of God. Love our journey and love our home, and love is the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy, bring forth the kingdom of peace, bring forth the kingdom of justice, bring forth the city of God.
Now for our offertory statement. True treasures. Once upon a time, Pastor Duane went fishing on a Sunday afternoon. This was a few decades ago, long before he started the habit of taking a prayerful nap on Sunday afternoons. He had, however, been to church that morning. He remembered the sermon being something about fish and casting out nets. His simple fishing pole didn't compare well to a net, but the small farm creek upon which he was fishing didn't compare to all the sea. But he did manage to catch a few sunfish and a bullhead, none of which he kept. Instead, they were tossed back into the water so they could grow a little bigger, should he ever manage to catch them again. The biblical message of catching fish in nets reminds us that treasures aren't found in things, but in attitudes about sharing. Jesus taught his disciples to fish for people, because this is what truly matters. If caught, we become heavenly treasures that sparkle in God's kingdom. Abundant life is not found in how much we catch and keep, but in how much we give away and how much we rejoice in that experience. These thoughts are good to ponder in the hours and days ahead. Now is a good time to practice what Pastor Duane will soon preach. This is to say, giving is good for our souls. But don't worry, he won't be going fishing this afternoon while you are busy trying to figure out what he preached about. No, he will be taking a holy nap. If it helps, you can go fishing. Feel free to do so. Our offering plates are at the back of the sanctuary, and feel free to mail in checks, and you can also use our online giving. Please join me in prayer. Lord, let our congregation be a witness to you, immersed in scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supportive community, reaching out to those in need. Accept these gifts we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading will be Matthew 13, 31 through 33, and 44 through 52. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman takes and mixes in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which somebody found and hid, and then in his joy goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that has been thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it is full, they draw it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, that what is new and what is old.
That was a trick question, by the way, when Jesus asked his disciples if they understood all of this, because they didn't. And they failed to for quite some time. However, the good news for you all is that I have in this box here all the things that you could possibly need to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? And I'm going to auction this off in just a minute. We have in this box a very small, just one mustard seed, a little dab of yeast, a pearl of great value, and a fish. This box, then, according to the scripture that we just heard, is everything that you'll possibly need to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it sounds like you only need one of those items, but I put 4 of them here just to make sure that you get a good value. And I'm willing to part with this for the easy sum of $2 billion. So let's start the bidding. Who'd like to start at $5 million? Let's start there. Anybody? I should mention, this is not your ordinary shoebox. It has an attachable... I'm attached top, right? And okay, I'll throw in the net because that seemed to be in the scripture too. Anybody want a bid? Well, all right, I'll put it here in case you change your mind, but don't you be stealing that because I spent a lot of time putting that box together. And you're probably wise to hesitate parting with your good money on that kind of thing, because the scripture didn't really say that these items are the kingdom of heaven. It said that the kingdom of heaven is like these things. It's like a mustard seed, and it's like a bit of yeast, and it's like a pearl of great value, and it's like a net that catches fish of all kinds. And that's pretty important to not distinguish or to make a distinction between those things that are and what they're like. So how is the kingdom of heaven like those things? Well, you know, it's pretty clear that the mustard seed is very small, and given time and put into the right soil with the right climate, enough water, enough sunshine, it will grow, and then it grows to a huge size. So there's some growth involved, even though it starts out as small. And it's like yeast is like that. You know, yeast, you don't put a lot of yeast into the flour, but just a little bit will cause the bread to rise. And the way I do it at home, you know, you can let it rise, and then you punch it back down. And then you roll it out, and then you make new loaves out of that, and then that rises again. Now, I've never tested to see how many times you could repeat that, where it punch it down and it rise back up, but I think it would go on for a little while. But again, you have to do it in the right climate, because if you put too much hot water in your mixture, you'll kill the yeast. And if the water's too cold, it won't stimulate enough. So it has to be just the right temperature to work. And that may be partly what we're being taught here about seeds and yeast and how they grow. But the main thing I think Jesus is trying to say to us is that, you know, it's faith that these things produce. And it's your faith that gets you into heaven, not the item of the mustard seed or the yeast. And faith that, even though it starts small, it can grow and blossom if you treat it right, if you nurture it in the right way. It reminds me of this story that happened just a couple weeks ago. There was this elderly woman who'd gone to church her whole life, and she only lived a few blocks from the church, so she used to walk. But during the last, 5 months, she's been doing like some of you are doing, and was watching the church service from home. And about 10 minutes before the church service was supposed to start, they were doing it live in their church, so you had to kind of be there to watch it. They didn't record it and post it on the web page like we're doing for later. And so about 10 minutes before the church service was going to begin, she gets this phone call. And the phone call, the caller, was in a bit of a panic. Now, it's not somebody she knew, but the person calling said, "Oh, the world is ending. The crisis has come. You must help." And she says, "Well, tell me more." And the person who's all in the panic said, "Godzilla is eating downtown and is going to destroy our whole village." And she didn't know what to make of that. But she thought it might be a scam when the person said, and if you'll just send me $1,000 right now, we can stop that from happening." And she didn't think that sounded too realistic. And so she said, "Well, I'm sorry for your troubles. I'm not interested." Well, the person kind of, got even more agitated and said, "Well, I'll tell you what. You can just send me $500 now, and if you call a few of your friends and get them to send more money in, we'll be okay." And she said, "No, I don't think I'm going to bother with this." And he goes, "Well, what are you going to do? Godzilla is eating the downtown." And she said, "Well, I think I'm going to go to church." And then she hung up. And that would have probably been her attitude, even if there had been a real crisis. Now, just so you don't go home scared, Godzilla is not eating any place that you live near, right? There are in our world made-up crises, but there also are real crises, and it's helpful to discern the difference between that which is real and a threat and that which is somebody's imagination. But this woman who went to church every Sunday, I don't know that it would have mattered to her. I think her attitude was, "I'm going to be in worship again because that's what I've done my whole life." And that kind of faith comes from having lived through all kinds of seasons, both good and bad, and having had this one stability that attending church and attending to God's teaching on a regular basis provided enough faith and stability that she wasn't going to be caught up in somebody's imaginary panic. Now, this reminds me of the same kind of thing about faith that starts small and then grows and matures into something that is more helpful. Reminds me of a few years ago, quite a few years ago, actually, I met this man in an airport. If you're bored in an airport or any public place and you want to have a long conversation with someone, just tell them you're a pastor. That usually opens up the floodgates of conversation. For some people, it scares them. They go, they kind of don't have anything to do with you. But about 85% of the time, they want to tell you about how awful their church is. But there's a few percentages of time when you actually hear a helpful story that is kind of inspiring. And this actually happened. This was a helpful story. A man was telling me about a day in his life, a period in his life, actually, when he was very disheartened. He was discouraged and didn't know what he was going to do with himself. He felt like there was no hope, that he had no purpose to live. He was ready to end it all. In fact, he said he went to a pawn shop to buy a gun. And I said, "What were you planning to do with the gun?" He said, "I didn't know." He said, "I didn't know if I was going to use it on myself or use it on somebody else." He said, "But and maybe I would do both." You know, and that kind of thing happens almost every day in this country. But he said, I went to the store and I was going to buy this gun." And I said, "I assume you didn't buy it." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, I took out my wallet to see if I had enough money. And there, tucked in one of the corners, was this piece of paper that I'd forgotten about." He said, I pulled out that piece of paper, and when I opened it up, there was a little drawing that my four-year-old daughter had given me a few years before. And he said, "You know, that was enough to remind me that I had more than just the troubles I was focused on. So that was enough to remind me that I had a reason to live, even though I didn't know how I was going to get out of this trouble I was in." He said, "And that began to make me think about all the other blessings I had. And that was enough to stop me from this falling off the edge. That would have been a very deep cliff and a very hard fall." That's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. And when he says about how we should look for that pearl of great value that we would give everything for, that's kind of what this man found. Was he realized that what he already had was worth more than he had given it credit for. And it's an attitudinal thing. You know, we can look at all the problems we have, or we can look at all the blessings we have. And usually when we look at all the blessings we have, we start to grow in our appreciation for those things. And it changes everything about the world in which we live. It's at that point that I part company with those in the religious community who call themselves who believe in the prosperity gospel. Who believe that God wants all of us to be rich. And not just rich, but filthy rich. So rich you wouldn't hesitate buying that box. It'd be, and my trouble with that attitude is that too often when people say your prosperity is a sign of your blessing, it's something that you have to go out and purchase. And yet when I get to know these people, they don't seem particularly satisfied. They want more and they want more. And I think the difference would be that, you know, they will tell you that your being rich is a sign that you've been blessed. And I think Jesus would say that a sign of true richness is when you know you're already blessed. That when you are satisfied with knowing that God loves you and cares for you, that that's enough of a wealth to make life purposeful and meaningful. That's what that man in the airport, I think, was able to discover. And the good news was, when he discovered that, he allowed that to grow and to take over the rest of his life. Now, the danger with when I'm criticizing the prosperity gospel folks is the last part of our parable, the last parable about the fish. Because it's tempting to decide, you know, who God agrees with and who God doesn't. And it's amazing how similar God's thoughts are to my own. That seems to be real consistent. And that part of the parable will remind us that that's a dangerous place to be. Oh, there is a sorting out of things. And when the fish come onto the shore and there are some that are good and some that are not, it's God's work to separate them out and to decide where they go, not ours. That's not our task. Our task is not to decide for God who's worthy and who is not, who's in the kingdom and who isn't. But I would guess within many of our own lives we have similar kind of things to discern. That many people I meet feel like there's parts of themselves that they're happy with and other parts of themselves that they don't much like. And that may be the way God sees us too. But it is God's work to help root out those less than positive qualities. And if we allow our faith to start small and then to grow, that's the process by which we get rid of selfishness and anger towards others and hatreds and other kinds of forms of prejudices. Those can be rooted out of our lives by allowing the faith that God gives us to take root and to mature and to grow. Now, I've been thinking all week long about how it is and why it is that Jesus taught so much of his wisdom through parables. You know, parables are a little story or an example that is commonplace enough that it'll stay with you, that you'll bump up against. You know, every time you use yeast, for example, if you use it, you'll remember this parable about the yeast. And yet, so they're drawn from common life, and they're ones that aren't particularly complicated, but they make you think. And they can make you think for a long while about what it was that Jesus meant. And when I'm asked the question, do I fully understand it, I'm always slow to say, I'm not sure, or maybe not totally, or maybe not yet. Because there's always more to ponder and think about. Because the kingdom in our minds and hearts keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So for this week, I'd like you to think about just a couple things. A couple things to ponder from these parables. And the first of those would be, what is it in you that is maybe small, but is growing? What about your faith that's expanding? And of course, how then can you allow that to even take more space? And as you think about what is within you that's expanding and growing, the next thing to think about is to wonder, what do you already have that is already a great blessing? And maybe you think about that all the time, but just spend a little time this week pondering your blessings and what you would do to hang on to those. Those are the difference between blessings and things that you can buy. Because what we buy, we can just kind of discard or put off in the corner. But those things that are so valuable you wouldn't ever part with, those are the true blessings. So that's enough for today. Enjoy pondering those things this week, and we'll see you another week to come. God bless.
Let's all stand. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you. Stop for your benediction now.
Oh, I love live TV. There are two key words in that passage, that song, and one is go, but don't go away mad, but peace. Go in peace. Amen. And now,
benediction.